Kids, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 2018 World Cup Football Tournament officially kicked off Thursday in Moscow, Russia. In the opening match of the month-long football festival, Russia is hosting Saudi Arabia at the 80,000-seat Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow. And right now, we're in the 70th minute, and the Russians lead the Saudis 2-0. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Yuri Gazinski. Gazinski gets the first goal of Russia 2018. He scored on a header in the 12th minute. Denis Cheryshev doubled the lead for the Russians just before the break. Once again, we're in the 71st minute. The Russians just scored again. Russia 3, Saudi Arabia 0. The Russians back on the board. Russia looks like they're headed for victory in the opening match of the World Cup. The stadium at Luzhniki, it looks at full capacity this evening. Luzhniki will also host the World Cup final on July 15th. Now, Russia-Saudi Arabia is a matchup of the two lowest-ranked teams in the 32-nation World Cup. The Russians are number 70 in the June FIFA rankings, while the Saudis are at number 67. Just before the match kicked off outside Luzhniki Stadium, these two Saudi fans both predicted victory for their team.
Tonight I think we will win this game because we have a great team. And I think we will win 3-0.
I think it's a good achievement to play on a, you know, international level. The whole world is watching. And we're going to prove that we can play some soccer. My prediction will be 2-1, and we will win. I told the players to play very well. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, here's a laughing matter. Those Saudis, that first Saudi we heard, said the Saudis were going to win 3-0. Why don't we flip it? Right now, Russia leads Saudi Arabia 3-0. The Saudis are not going to win this match, sports fans. Russia headed to victory in the opening match of the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Russia 3, Saudi Arabia 0. We're in the 72nd minute. The Russians, it looks like they're headed to their first victory at the World Cup in 16 years. For our VOA World Cup fans keeping score, Russia defeated Tunisia 2-0 at the 2002 World Cup in Kobe, Japan. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia also qualified for the 2018 World Cup. The Tunisians take on England June 18th in their opening match in Volgograd, Russia. Now, Tunisia is one of five African teams competing at Russia 2018. The four others are the Pharaohs of Egypt, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, and the Lions of Taronga of Senegal. The Egyptians and the Moroccans will be the first two African teams in action on Friday. Egypt will play Uruguay in Ekaterinburg, Russia, and Morocco will meet Iran in St. Petersburg, Russia. Egypt's Argentine head coach, Hector Cooper, was quoted on Thursday saying his star Liverpool striker, Mohamed Salah, is almost 100% certain to play against Uruguay. That would certainly be a big birthday present for Mo Salah, who, yes, Mighty Mo is going to celebrate his 26th birthday on Friday. Salah has not played since injuring shoulder ligaments during Liverpool's UEFA Champions League final defeat by Real Madrid on May 26th. Egyptian coach Cooper adds this about Salah, and I quote, "He could become the top goal scorer in Russia and one of the greatest players. He's doing very well and has recovered very, very quickly." birthday boy Mohamed Salah. And the Egyptians will be taking on an Uruguay team that finished second to Brazil in South America's World Cup qualifying competition. Uruguay also features the dynamic scoring duo of Paris Saint-Germain's Edinson Cavani and Barcelona's Luis Suarez. Suarez and Cavani arrived at Uruguay's World Cup training camp after posting a combined 71 goals in 99 matches across all competitions for their trophy-winning clubs this past season. And how's this for a dynamic partnership, VOA World Cup fans? Cavani and Suarez's joint international portfolio is approaching 100 career goals. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten will have more on Egyptian star Mohamed Salah. But first, Gwen has an update on World Cup security. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Happy World Cup, sports fans. So listen, if you're suddenly thinking about heading over to Russia to be part of the action, you need to know security is tight. Army trucks arrived in Moscow on Thursday to join the security forces that are already in place. Thousands of police have been deployed in all 11 host cities, and they are ready to deal with rowdy spectators and security threats. Extra police are on patrol in metro stations as thousands upon thousands of soccer fans poured into Russia ahead of Thursday's opening match. Russian President Vladimir Putin promises that this year's World Cup will be an unforgettable and vibrant one. On Wednesday, Putin spoke in Moscow at a FIFA Congress and called the tournament the creme de la creme of global football. Putin also thanked FIFA for their dedication in keeping politics out of sport. FIFA President Gianni Infantino expressed his gratitude to the Russian president for hosting the World Cup in his country.
From the bottom of our heart, a big, big, big thank you to you, Mr. Putin, for your engagement, for your passion, for making us really feel part of the same team. To your government, to the local organizing committee, to the Russian Football Union, to all the volunteers in Russia, and to all the 150 or more million Russian people who are welcoming the world here in the next months. Thank you for being here. Спасибо. And I see you very soon. Thank you very much.
Well, World Cup fever continues to heat up. A sea of spectators from around the globe have gathered in Moscow with their nation's flags in tow and team jerseys on full display. This year's World Cup heavily features national teams from the Middle East and Latin America. And this Costa Rican soccer fan arrived way ahead of her nation's match against Serbia on Sunday.
All the people, like, we like everyone here from people all over the world. So, yeah, we're happy to be here.
And this Australian soccer fan brought a few Aussies along.
So we're here with the tour group of about 90 Australians. So it's, yeah, staying a little bit out of the city, so we've been just doing a tourist thing for a few days. Yeah, absolutely love it though, it's a really cool town. Like, you got the Kremlin, that type of stuff, a lot of history. And also, like, the vibe of the World Cup's pretty cool as well.
Australia will face France on Saturday. The Egyptian team arrived at their hotel in Ekaterinburg ahead of their Friday opener against Uruguay, and Egyptian fans were there before dawn to welcome their home team.
I came over here in Ekaterinburg at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was total 44 hours flight. It took me 44 hours to come over here. And I'm here for the team, and we're going to be very loud in the stadium on Friday.
Mohamed Salah emerged from the bus to the sound of cheering fans who were no doubt relieved he made it to the World Cup at all. In May, Salah left the field in tears after a shoulder injury forced him out of the final match of the UEFA Champions League, and Egypt held its collective breath as his World Cup appearance was thrown into question. Yet, throughout his recovery, Salah stayed connected to his legion of fans, assuring them he would be ready for the Cup. Last week, he posted a picture of himself performing a shoulder exercise and wrote, "Good feelings." Outside the Russian hotel, this fan said the strength of his nation is with Mo Salah and the entire Egyptian team.
We got a very good chance. We're all hoping that Salah will be fit to play. And if he doesn't, we've got 100 million behind the team.
Mo Salah! Mo Salah! Mo Salah!
This year marks Egypt's first appearance in the World Cup since 1990. And do you remember this sound? Ah, the sound of South Africa 2010, still ringing in the ears of those who were there. Well, make way for Russia 2018 and the spoons of victory. The spoons, or loshkas in Russian, will be stirring the crowd in 11 host cities over the next month. Designers had a choice between three instruments, a clapper, a shaker, and a spoon. In the end, the spoon triumphed as a true reflection of Russian culture and for its gentler, less disturbing sound than, say, the vuvuzela or the Brazilian caxarula, featured prominently in Brazil 2014. The spoons come in a variety of colors and patterns and are traditionally made of wood. However, a special plastic version is available for the less skillful among us. Let's hear it for the official instrument of the World Cup! Back to you, Sonny.
Stir it up, Gwen. Stir it up. Stirring up those spoons and stirring up some World Cup news for us. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Host Russia is heading to victory in the opening match of the 2018 World Cup football tournament. The Russians lead Saudi Arabia 3-0 in the 82nd minute at Luzhniki Stadium. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Another one to Yuri Gazinski. He scored the first goal of Russia 2018 on a header in the 12th minute. Denis Cheryshev doubled the lead for the Russians in the 43rd minute. And Alan Zagaev, a substitute, came on. Artem Zuba, let me get the name right. Artem Zuba came on in the second half as a substitute. He scored in the 71st minute. So once again, it's Russia 3, Saudi Arabia 0. We're in the 83rd minute. The Russians, the host Russians, are going to win the opening match of the 2018 World Cup. Coca-Cola is one of the official sponsors of the 2018 World Cup in Russia. And Coca-Cola's official World Cup song is Colors by American singer Jason Derulo. Let's give it a listen.
Oh, what a feeling. Look what we've overcome. Oh, I'm gonna wave away my flag and count all the reasons we are the champions. There ain't no turning, turning back. Saying, oh, can't you taste the feeling, feeling? Saying, oh, we all together singing. Look how far we come now. Colors. team we found. I'm ready. We still got a long way, but look how far we come now. Hands up for your colors. Represent your country, raise your flag, show your true colors.
That's Colors by American singer Jason Derulo, Coca-Cola's official 2018 World Cup song. The anthem is described as a rallying cry for fans around the world to embrace their colors, a concept that extends beyond country flags and team jerseys. The 28-year-old Derulo says the song basically wrote itself. Jason says Colors is about champions, but also about the state of the world. Derulo says he wanted to create something international that fans around the world can enjoy. And Jason adds this about the sound of the song. He says it has an island vibe, it has African rhythms, and it has a Latin influence with guitar. Jason says he wanted to mesh all those vibes together so everyone can feel like it's their sound. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Host Russia headed for victory in the opening match of the 2018 World Cup. Right now, we're just a couple of minutes from the final whistle. The Russians lead Saudi Arabia 3-0. The goal scorers, Gazinski, Yuri Gazinski with the first goal of the World Cup in the 12th minute. Denis Cheryshev and Zhuba, a substitute in the 71st minute. Russia headed for victory in the opening match of the 2018 World Cup. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will play Croatia Saturday in their opening World Cup match in Kaliningrad, Russia. Former goalkeeper David Ngodiga captained the Super Eagles in 1988 and 1989. David also trained the goalkeepers for Nigeria's bronze medal winning team at the 2014 Rio Olympics in Brazil. Now, Nigeria has three goalkeepers in Russia, Ikechukwu Ezenwa, Daniel Akpeyi, and Francis Uzoho. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye asked David Ngodiga about the quality of Nigeria's World Cup goalkeepers.
Well, the apprehension is everywhere. It's not that when you have a country that has been producing goalkeepers at that level that people can rely on, I can understand that apprehension and so on. Looking at the goalkeepers we have, they are the ones we have as at now, and they are the ones that have been used consistently. So it will be difficult now to start bringing in any other goalkeeper. Though some of us are of the school of thought that no matter what, Yama should have been called back because of his wealth of experience and for the fact that he has that exposure and so on. But when you want to look at it also too, we expect that the goalkeepers we have now can rise up to the occasion. Because Yamato also started with an opportunity like this when the other goalkeepers were dropped in Korea, Japan. And he took that chance and he has become who he is today, not only in Nigerian football, in African football and in world football.
Some analysts think that Enyama's inability to make the national team is the fact that he's not been in action for his French club for some time. What's your reaction to this?
Well, to me, I don't look at it that way, in as much as I'm not trying to maybe criticize the technical crew for that and so on. I felt that the goalkeeper trainer that was sent to Izo should have been sent to Iyama if we really wanted his service. Look at 1990. The Cameroonian team, they were having a problem with scoring goals before the World Cup, if you remember. They went to the Nations Cup and they got knocked out by Senegal. It was a very poor performance and everybody in Africa was crying that, come on, do you think we are going to have better representative? What did the coach do, the Russian coach? He went and brought back Reggie Miller from retirement. And that was the turning point that the team needed. And they went to Italia 90. And Reggie Miller proved himself till tomorrow. So we felt that, with the experience Yama has gotten and so on, even as at the time he had that injury, we have given him that support, knowing that Kali Keme is not readily available. because of his illness. But that said and done, you know, they did not do that and so on. But the ones we have now in camp now, they are the ones that have been used regularly. So we expect that at least they will rise up to the occasion, because there is this Nigerian spirit that you have in our players. The result might not be too encouraging in the last few friendly games and so on, but I think with the match against Croatia, it will determine how far we'll go, because well begun is half done.
Looking beyond the Russia 2018 World Cup and looking at the goalkeepers we have in camp, or the crop of goalkeepers we have, what would be your advice to the handlers of the national team on how to improve their standard?
Well, we have to start looking for goalkeepers. That's the truth of it. You remember when we were preparing for the Olympic Games and being part of that technical crew and so on, people were surprised where Emmanuel Daniel came out from. He came out from the league. And Emmanuel Daniel did extremely very well for us. And when it was even time to get an overage player, we took Daniel Akpeyi, considering a lot of issues. That is still the Dele Alepanso. He's a good goalkeeper, no doubt. You know, I know he's a young one coming up. So we should start looking at all these goalkeepers now so that there will be better competition to bring out the best in them. We made this mistake somehow. We are relying solely on Kali Keme. Why we did not have, I will not use the word capable, I will say we did not have well experienced and exposed assistant for him. And when that opportunity came, Ezewa took it up. He did extremely well during the qualifiers. Unfortunately, he too had an injury. And there was that kind of tension. So where were we going to get goalkeeper for the World Cup? And the young chap from Spain came up and so on. Good goalkeeper, I know that. He's a very young goalkeeper. I know that with the few matches he has played, some experience would have come. But yet not all in the World Cup standard. Talking about the World Cup standard. But he can also rise up to the occasion and carve a niche for himself.
That's David Ngadiga, the former captain and goalkeeper of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And David was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're in the final seconds of play in Moscow, and host Russia headed for a very convincing 4-0 victory over Saudi Arabia in the opening match of the 2018 World Cup. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out to two Russians. Yuri Gazinski scored the very first goal of Russia 2018 in the 12th minute. Denis Cheryshev, two goals for the Russians in their opener. We're in the final seconds of play. Host Russia going to win the opening match of the World Cup 4-0 over Saudi Arabia in the first match of the World Cup. So the Russians, this will be their first World Cup victory in 16 years. And it looks like the Russians have just scored another goal. I'm going to go with a final score from Moscow. 5-0 Russia. 5-0, Russia wins the opening match of the World Cup. If I'm wrong, I'll be back at 18:30 with an update. And that wraps up a special June 14th World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Wojciech Zorniak, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On May 8th, health officials in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, reported two confirmed cases of Ebola in the country's northwest. It is the DRC's ninth outbreak of the disease since the discovery of the virus near the country's Ebola River, and the second since the largest ever Ebola epidemic swept across West Africa from 2014 to 2015. Ebola is a viral hemorrhagic fever with average mortality rates ranging from 25 to 90%, depending on the specific strain. According to the World Health Organization, by the end of December 2015, the epidemic that devastated West Africa sickened 28,616 people and killed 11,310 across 10 countries. Ebola is a disease of the thick forest, where people and wild animals exist in close proximity. Here, people are more likely to eat bushmeat or wild-caught game that may be infected with the disease. That is one of the reasons why Ebola is endemic in the DRC, meaning it is always present there at some level. Since the earliest cases of this outbreak were reported in the DRC's forested region of Bikoro, they have spread to Mbandaka, a major port city. There is now a possibility that the infection could travel down the Congo River to more densely populated areas, such as Kinshasa, the capital, with its population of 10 million. On May 22nd, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar announced that the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, will contribute up to $7 million at this stage to combat the Ebola outbreak in the DRC. This is in addition to the $1 million USAID committed a few days earlier to help prevent the spread of this deadly disease. The United States is also sending a team of public health experts to join the efforts of the Ministry of Health of the DRC, the World Health Organization, and other partners. At the same time, we call on the global community to make funding available immediately to support the government of the DRC and the World Health Organization's Health Emergencies Fund, the Contingency Fund for Emergencies, in order to contain the outbreak as soon as possible before it spreads further and harms more people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show.
Our topic will be men's grooming.
This is next Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.